Blog Talk Radio.
You can't do that. What are you thinking? You are not good enough. You are not going to get that job. You don't have an education. What? That is for smart people, not you. That outfit doesn't look good on you. You look ridiculous. You want to go where? With what? Money you don't have? Remember, you're broke and worthless. Nobody loves you. This is the voice of the toxic ego, the voice that is holding you back from your divine life. Dr. Nydia is here to guide you in learning to let go of this voice. She is here to teach you inner work, a journey through the soul, to empower you in creating a passageway to spiritual development. Dr. Nydia received her PhD from Union Institute and University in Psychology with emphasis in addiction studies. She is a registered clinical social worker intern and received her master's degree from Barry University. She is a certified addiction professional for the state of Florida. She is also a Reiki master, healing touch practitioner, and a master hypnotherapist. For more information, visit her website at www.dranidia.com, Dr. Nydia. Now, please welcome your host of Inner Work, Dr. Nydia.
And this is Dr. Nydia. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. This is Alma.
And we're here. Alma, what is today's topic?
Today is the toxic ego.
The toxic ego.
For a long time, we didn't touch this topic.
Yeah, we have not talked about this for a while.
But we always talk about that because that's the main...
Well, we talk about how it manifests a lot of times.
Yeah.
But we don't really talk about what is it. What's the toxic ego?
Well, toxic ego is the cause of our problems.
Toxic ego. Well, see, here's the thing. The toxic ego survives by creating rigid boundaries and limits on everything in its life. See? Everything has to be rigid. Everything has to be perfect. And toxic ego... The boundaries, either there are none or they're too rigid.
Yes.
And for the most part, they're very rigid. So these rigid boundaries and limits are illusions that define what is good or bad or right or wrong in an attempt to control us from discovering our true selves. Who is our true self?
Our essence.
Our essence.
Yeah.
Our essence. And so, what is our essence? Our essence is that part of us that lives so, so happy and so comfortable. But let's continue talking about the rigid boundaries and those limits and those illusions and the right and the wrong and our true self, the sacred inner essence that's within us. Inner Work teaches us how we can discover the root of our belief system and how to release many of our erroneous beliefs. This is in the book.
Yes, everything
right?
Is in the book.
And
the book is a manual.
Yes.
For life.
Yes. Inner Work, So the toxic ego justifies judgment of others and has rigid rules on how and how not to behave. Justifies judgment. In other words, there is no justification for you to be judging someone else.
Of course.
Because when you're judging someone else, you're looking at them instead of looking at yourself. You have no power over other people. This is what we don't seem to understand. We do not have power over other people. And so when we try to, when we have these rules of how other people should be. And this is one of the biggest problems that we have. This is why we have anxiety. We stay up nights because our husbands or wives didn't come home or our kids are out and we don't trust that they're going to be okay or not. See, when you have a healthy ego, when you're within your essence, you know anything could happen. But people have to go out and do their thing and they have to live and they have to enjoy their life. But we worry about them. See? Or we misplace our how do I explain this without confusing everybody? When we judge somebody, we're looking at what they're doing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
See? So when we're home waiting for somebody to come home, we're wondering, are they okay? Are they safe? Are they driving carefully? Are they doing this? Are they doing that? Why haven't they called? Where are they? What are they doing? And we're not at peace with ourselves. We don't have any power with what happens to people when they're not around us. We don't have any power when they're around us, let alone for when they're not around us. See? So when I always used to be very jealous. For a long time, I was very, very jealous. And every time my husband or my significant other would leave the house, I would be worrying that he may be with somebody else. And then it occurred to me one day, if he's going to be with somebody else, he's going to be with somebody else, whether I worry or not, of course. You know, and I have no power over that. I have to make life for us comfortable enough so that he wants to come home.
Yes.
Not that he has to come home. How many people have to come home and hate to come home?
Yes, of course.
They're on their way home and they're getting sick because they, oh my God, I gotta go home now. You know, like when you used to go to work?
Yes.
And every time you used to get up in the morning that you had to go to work and you would get sick.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And some people have that same problem coming home.
Yes.
Because they're coming home to God knows what. See?
Yes.
But they keep coming home, so. But the point is that we don't have the power to decide what other people should or should not be doing. See? So when we have those rigid judgments of others, the rigid rules and how they should or should not behave, since we learn from these, we trust outside ourselves, we also believe that the truth is outside of ourselves. Right? And we think that the truth is outside of ourselves. When in reality, the truth is that you have no power with anybody at any time, ever, including your children, including your significant other. The only thing you have to decide is whether you want to stay in a relationship or not.
Yes.
If you want to stay in a relationship, you're staying because this is what you want to do, and you're happy there. But if you're not happy there and you stay in the relationship, then you can't complain.
Of course.
See? You can't complain because you choose to stay there. So when you have these rigid rules, or the people around you have the rigid rules, and let me tell you, we live in a situation which we create ourselves. So the toxic ego feeds on judgment and fear, creating an abundance of perceived weaknesses and limitations. The toxic ego spends most of its time creating fences and stories and illusions to protect itself from exposure. In the toxic ego's mind, when someone does not support its views, the toxic ego believes it is being attacked.
Yes.
Which is what you were telling me a little while ago.
Yes.
See? And when we're in a situation where we have people around us who are in their toxic ego and they get attacked, it's very simple, or they feel that they're being attacked, it's very simple to cut that situation.
Mm-hmm.
Because what you simply have to do, first of all, you have to set rigid limits. And you have to let the person's toxic ego know that you're not going to put up with this. This has got to stop. Okay? It has to stop. No, I'm not going to put up with this. I don't want to hear this. And you can have all the temper tantrums that you want to have. And in the beginning, there are going to be a lot of temper tantrums. When you start to make the changes and start taking over your own life, I mean, you know, if I slap you and you let me slap you, then you can't complain because I'm slapping you.
Yeah.
But when I attempt to slap you and you put your hand up and you stop me from slapping you, I may get upset because you're not letting me slap. Well, but you always let me slap you. Why don't you let me slap you now? See? Well, no more. Enough is enough. And so that other person is going to have a temper tantrum, an emotional temper tantrum. They're going to feel that they're being attacked because now you're not letting them do what they... The best thing you can do for a person with a toxic ego, because the toxic ego is very immature, as you know,
mm-hmm.
right? So the best thing you can do when you have someone that's in their toxic ego and going through this emotional temper tantrum is to simply just walk away. You turn around and you walk away and let them scream and holler all they want. And if they want to go outside and follow you screaming and hollering, let them go outside. You stay as quiet as you can. And then, you know, you just walk away from them. After a while, and usually it happens right away, but after a while, the other person realizes that's not going to work. See?
Yes.
I've been with my ex-husband, and we've been in the car together. And I've been driving because he hates to drive. And so I used to drive. And sometimes he would start fighting with me about something and he would go on and on and on and on. I would park the car and I would get out and I'd get on a bus. One time, this is the funniest because he really went hysterical. We went to Maryland or Vermont, or I think it was Vermont or Rhode Island, one of those places. And we lived in New Jersey, and we went to Rhode Island, which is another state. You know, for those who don't know the distance, it's just, you know, like far away.
Mm-hmm.
And so we went, and I had to be back the next day. And he insisted that I go, and I wanted to go. And I said, okay, I'll go, but I have to be back tomorrow morning. And so I had to go because I had a speaking engagement. That's what it was. And so I had the speaking engagement. And so he went. And so he invited another friend of his. And then it turned out that we went maybe four or five people. And so I drove all the way up. And I was telling them, remember, I have to be back tomorrow. Because they were talking about, oh, well, let's stay overnight. I said, no, I can't, because at 9 o'clock tomorrow morning, I have to be someplace else. Okay, I have a commitment. And so they decided amongst themselves that they were going to stay. They didn't tell me because they knew I would say no.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I was at the door of where I had to do my speaking engagement, when my husband says, oh, we're going to go for a drive and we'll be back after you finish. We'll come pick you up. And I said, okay. And then he says, oh, by the way, we're staying the night. And I said, okay, you guys can stay the night. And I went inside and I did what I had to do. And then I asked one of the guys from where I was speaking to take me to the Greyhound bus. I got on my bus and I came home. See? They hadn't gotten there yet. Had they gotten there, I would have asked them to take me. Well, it turns out that around 3 o'clock in the morning, here comes my husband. I was already home. And
yeah, right.
He came back.
Okay.
And so he was very upset because why did I leave? And I said, I told you I have to be back here tomorrow at 9 o'clock. You decided to stay. I didn't tell you couldn't stay. You should have stayed. Why did you come home? But he was very, very angry. And his friends were angry. And I said to the next day when I got to talk to them, I said, I don't understand. Why did you come back? Oh, well, you had to do your drama thing. And I said, I didn't do any drama.
What drama? They did.
They did the drama. Exactly. And I said, you know, what drama? I told you I had to be back here because I had a commitment this morning at 9 o'clock. Why are you upset? You said you were going to stay. I didn't tell you not to stay. I couldn't stay. You should have stayed. Oh, well, we came back because you and your drama. I said, I didn't do drama.
This is your problem.
Yeah. You know I had to come back. You decided to stay. You should have stayed. And it was going around in circles. And so at that point, I said it twice. At that point, I didn't say anything after that. I stayed quiet. And then the guys were mumbling about themselves, like, you know, oh, yeah, right, right, right. And, you know, like it was my fault because I came back.
Yeah.
See? And this is what happens. I didn't feel bad because I knew, hey, I told you I was coming back. I'm not going to stand there and take the blame for something that, and this is what the victim always wants to do, blame somebody else because I'm upset. I'm upset, it's your fault. Hasn't that ever happened to you?
All the time.
When?
All the time. When you get upset, most, you know, 99% of the time is your fault. Because you didn't the boundaries, or you didn't, or you accept this thing, whatever it happens, look back. It's always
within you. Well, it's your responsibility.
Of course.
Because if you're, the word upset in itself is telling you that that's the toxic ego. Mm-hmm. If you're upset because of something that somebody else is doing, then you're getting yourself caught up in something that's none of your business. My life is none of your business. The decisions I make is none of your business. Now, if we're living together and what you do affects me, I have to now decide whether I want to stay in this relationship or not, which is why my relationship broke up, because at some point I said, you know what, I'm done. See, I was living with a macho man, and up to a point that I like macho men because I grew up in that environment. But when I have to give up myself to make that other person happy, that's not going to happen. We both have to be happy, and we both have to be comfortable in the relationship. And it's a give-and-take relationship. When you give and give and give, and they take and take and take, that's not good. See? So it's very important that we understand that the toxic ego is always going to create drama, and it's always going to have a temper of a tantrum, and it's always going to be unrealistic. See? Now, eventually, the other guys understood. My husband never did understand. My ex-husband, he never did understand. And you know what? I don't care. I didn't care then. I care less now. See? So, for that, if you want to have a spiritual awakening, you have to recognize that part of yourself that keeps you in the darkness. That's the ego, the toxic ego. And the journey between the journey is, there's a raging war between the toxic ego and your essence. Does your spiritual essence believe in the flow of life, in the present moment, in the visible reality? The toxic ego resists this idea and believes that only in the rigid fantasies of the past and the unknowing illusions of the future. That's all it believes in. The guiding principles of the soul stress the sacredness of the self and the power of the self to transcend the toxic ego. You can transcend the toxic ego.
What is transcend?
Transcend means to move forward, to move beyond the toxic ego. See? So when you transcend anything, you're moving beyond from where you were to where you are now. And that's where the paradigms come in, where they shift, where they move. All your beliefs start to now don't look so valid anymore.
They start to crumbling.
They start to crumble. And that's the whole idea, to get your toxic ego to crumble, to disappear, to go somewhere else.
Yes.
So it's, you have to remember that the toxic ego, it refers to that egocentricity, or the egocentric behavior is the basis of our problem. The toxic ego is egocentric. Egocentricity, the behavior, is the basis of our problems because we have a lot of false beliefs. For instance, we tend to have a selective memory, only remembering information that supports our way of thinking and forgetting the information that does not.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah.
So you don't hear when your mother tells you, be careful, drive, don't text and drive at the same time. And so the toxic ego says, text? Oh, yeah, I can text. It didn't hear the rest of it.
Yeah,
see? It just said, oh, texting. Okay, I'd love to do that. So the toxic ego is extremely narrow-minded, thinking that it is always right and that everyone else is always wrong. The toxic ego does not see the inconsistencies in what it says and in what it does, yet feels superior as it judges others when they make mistakes. See, one of the things I ask people, what do you want? And they tell me, I don't want this or I don't want that. But the question was, what do you want? And so, okay, so then they'll tell me, I want to be happy, which really makes no sense to me because I don't know what happy looks like to you.
Yeah.
See? But you want to be happy. On one hand, you want to be happy, but on the other hand, you're fighting with everybody. You're fighting with everybody, not everybody fighting with you. You're fighting with everybody. See, you're creating drama. You're creating chaos. So there's a big inconsistency there. What are you doing to be happy? You want to be happy? Then do what it is that you need to do to be happy. See, I want people to smile at me. Well, let it begin with me. I have to start smiling at people. Every time I say good morning to somebody in the street, they say good morning back to me. I say good afternoon, they say good afternoon. See? Mm-hmm. I don't get anybody saying, you know, no. Even though some of them may not say anything, but for the most part, they all say good morning back to me or good afternoon or good evening or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
See? Everybody where I work, everybody in the building knows me and they talk to me because I talk to them. See? I have one of those faces where people tell me things. Even before I became a psychotherapist, people would tell me stuff. Adults. I was a kid. Adults would say, tell me things about their problems. And because I was always very basic, very simple as far as, you know, which is what I do today. I took all of that stuff that I saw that was very basic, and I put it together once I cleared my head and was able to see clearly. Oh, and this is what we get. And a lot of people tell me that what I talk about is very simple. So the toxic ego minimizes important issues and situations and overreacts to trivial situations. We minimize the important things. See, and a lot of times you're going to lose your job or your wife is going to leave you or, and we say, oh, no, I'm not going to lose my job. No, I'm fine. So I lose my job. So it's no big deal. You know what I mean? And so we will minimize something that's big. I've known people that are being kicked out of their homes.
Uh-huh.
You know, a man, his wife is going to leave him and he's getting kicked out of his home. And, oh, no big deal. I'll go to a hotel. They don't have any money. But they're already, you know, they have a plan B, which is not realistic most of the time. See? So, or we make a mountain out of a molehill.
Mm-hmm.
See? Remember when Betty's phone She lost her phone today.
Yeah.
She left the phone somewhere, and she started screaming and hollering and crying, and because, you know, that's the personality she has. That was a long time ago. So, you know, we go crazy over the little things, and we minimize the big things. There is never any consistency. So it often ignores facts which go against its false beliefs. The toxic ego is impulsive, it does not think before it acts, and then suffers harmful results, blaming those results on others. We do that all the time. The victim.
Yes.
The victim is always, always blaming somebody else. When I was drinking and my children were sick and my children were terminally ill, and you know, they had all this, it was God's fault. It wasn't my fault. I mean, yeah, I was drinking when I was pregnant, but that wasn't my fault, you know. So it was always blaming somebody else. The toxic ego wants what it wants, and it wants it now. You know what that means?
Yeah.
The toxic ego is like a little kid. They'll have a temper tantrum when things aren't going the way. I had a student call me the other day, and she says, "Oh, I'm looking at my degree plan, and I see here, and blah blah blah, and it shows that I'm like 6 credits short for graduating, and I have to graduate in December." She made a big deal over the fact that she didn't see. You have to have 120 credits to graduate. Mm-hmm. And she only saw 114, something like that. And so I said, "Well, wait a minute, don't panic yet." "What do you mean, don't panic yet?" I said, "You don't have any information. We'll talk to your advisor, and we'll see where those other credits are." But I said, "I'm looking at your degree plan, and I'm seeing that you will have 120 credits by the end of by the end of the term." "Well, I don't see it on mine. And if I don't see it on mine, oh my God, I can't." And she just went on and on, and she was hysterical. And I said, You have to breathe. Okay? Now, let's first get all the facts together. And then if those credits are still missing, then panic. When I panic, you panic. Okay? Let's make a deal. Don't panic until I panic.
Yeah.
So she said, "Oh, okay." So we talked to her advisor. And she said, "Oh, no, Lord, everything's fine. You're going to graduate because instead of giving you 2 credits for this, we're going to give you 4 credits for that." And she, you know, rearranged credits and whatnot. And she said, "You have more than enough to graduate." Oh, and then after a while, she called me back. She says, "Oh, I feel so foolish. I panicked and I just was hysterical. And I know that I must be a big pain in the butt and blah, blah." And I'm saying to myself, "Yeah, you are."
And this person, I was studying psychology.
Exactly. Wow. So one characteristic of the toxic ego is that it hangs on to what no longer works. Oh my God. How often do we do that?
Yes.
We hang on to what no longer works. This is happens when we're in relationships. An example of when we're in a relationship and the relationship is really dead. There is no relationship. But yet we stay in the relationship
because of the children.
The children, or, well, we've been together 20 years and, you know, I don't want to go away.
We haven't suffered a lot.
When my husband and I broke up, he was beside himself with grief.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, "Well, you know, you had almost 20 years to make things right. And you just keep making them worse. What's going to change now?"
"Yeah."
"I promise I'll change." "Well, what's going to be different?" "I don't know, but you'll see, I'll change." And, you know, it's like, no, we had no clue what the problems were, what the issues were in our relationship. But yet he's telling me he's going to change. And I know he wasn't, because that many times before it had happened, many years before. Because one time, you know, when our problems started happening, I told him, "You know what, this is not going to work." "No, I promise I'll change." And then I'd stay, and a week later, things were right back to normal.
Of course.
See? So I knew that nothing was going to change. He was just going to tell me what I wanted to hear, and then he was going to go back. And what happened was that now he's married to somebody else. And she's having the same problems with him that I had. And so I'm saying, well, better her than me.
Of course.
Because he was not going to change. And not because he's a bad person. He's a good person. He just needs to find somebody who wants to live the way he wants to live. See? And we all pick the wrong people. We want people, a person that's wonderful, and yet we get somebody who's human. See?
Yes.
He's just human. And I'm human. And I want certain things that he can't give me, and he wants certain things that I can't give him, even though he told me, and he tells me today, I was perfect for him. Yes, and I tell him, but you weren't perfect for me.
Good.
See? And both of us have to have that perfection or whatever it was. I mean, I could put up with a lot, and I gave up a lot for the relationship, but I was not getting anything back in return. And I have to get something back in return. It's selfish? Yeah, it's selfish. But so what? You can't sacrifice yourself in a relationship. You can't be somebody else's emotional punching bag or rug. You can't throw yourself on the floor and have him walk all over you and then complain because he's walking all over you.
Yes.
You have to understand that you want to stay in the relationship because the person has a lot of good qualities, but the qualities that this person has or the inequalities that this person has is causing you a lot of grief. So you have to decide, do I want to stay in this relationship the way it is right now? And if the other person is not willing to give up some things and make those changes, then there's nothing you can do. You have to walk away from the relationship. Did you ever see When a Man Loves a Woman? The movie with Andy Garcia?
No.
This is a beautiful, beautiful love story. Aside from the fact that they were both addicts,
mm-hmm.
And they went into recovery together. And she relapsed.
Okay.
And so they had children. And after a while, he had to break up with her because she was using.
Mm-hmm.
See? And so he got a custody of the children.
Okay.
And so she kept coming back, and he kept trying to help her. And she kept coming back, and he kept trying to help her. You know, she'd stay in the house for a day or two, but she'd be using, and you know, it was dangerous for him. So he would ask her to leave, and then she would leave, and then she'd come back, and then she would leave, and he would give money, and he would help her out in what he could. And then one day he said, I'm done. I'm done. You know, he stayed with her because that you're the mother of my children, and I love you very much, and I wish we could, you know. In his illusion, he thought that he would be happy and she would change. But she didn't. And so this one day he decided, well, I'm done. And when she came back, he opened the door, and at the doorway, he said to her, you can't come in. And he said, no, she was jonesing. She needed her drugs. And she asked him for money, and he said no. And so she begged, and he said, no, you gotta go. You don't come here anymore. And it was very painful and very, oh, you know, that's a tearjerker and whatnot. So she had to leave. That's where it ended. But the thing is that you have to get to a point where you have to say, enough is enough. See? But before you come to that place, you have to know that place is going to be there. And no matter what you do, it may wind up that happening. But before that, you try what you can. And if that other person has those rigid limits where they have to go into temper tantrums and stuff like that, you have to set limits. It's as simple as that. You set the limits. Now my limits are these, and they are very rigid. You can't cross them. See? And don't allow any manipulating and you know, like the tactic or manipulate, and oh, I'm sorry, I'll never do it again, until she does it, or she or he does it again next time, right? You know what I'm saying, right?
Yes, yes.
Okay, so the characteristic of the tactic ego is hanging on to what no longer works. The idea that I'm going to stay in this illusion, this relationship or whatever it is, because you're remembering all the good times that you had and you really love this person, quote unquote. So this means that although we can see that we're not benefiting from something or someone in our lives, we often deny the fact and insist remaining in our story. And the story could be that, well, I love this person. I love him or I love her, and they're really good people, like I did for many years with my ex. He really was a nice guy, but we couldn't live together. It's as simple as that. Right? So the toxic ego has many faces. By that, I mean that the toxic ego presents itself as fear, control, manipulation, and judgment. As such, the toxic ego can wreak havoc on a person's life. So let's talk fear. Let's talk about fear. Okay? The difference between the healthy ego and the toxic ego. What are the differences? When you look at the different faces of the toxic ego, what are the differences between a healthy ego and the toxic ego? What is the purpose of the healthy ego?
It's the survival.
The survival mechanism. It's inborn. You're born with that.
Yes.
See? So you know that when you're in danger, the toxic ego picks up on that and saves you. So
yes.
There's a fire and now you're going to start running the other way.
Of course.
Right? When you look at the pictures of 9/11, you see all the people running away from the building. See?
Mm-hmm.
The toxic ego took over. Let's get out of here. They started running. Right? The other day, some man was throwing his kids out the window.
Yeah.
Yeah? And he threw himself out the window. But when he threw the children out the window, there were people down there telling him, throw the babies out the window. You know, they would catch him. And they did. There was a fire in the house. And there was no place for him to go but out the window. See? And so when he jumped, he broke his leg, but he survived. See? The healthy ego says, we got to get out of here. And the only way is to throw the children out the window and hope that somebody catches them.
Mm.
And they did. See? So that is your inborn survival mechanism when you're able to you know, the extreme of survival is jumping out a window.
Yes.
You know, and he was pretty high up. Okay? So the survival mechanism alerts and prepares us from perceived harm. So we're in danger. The healthy ego will get us through that. The toxic ego, on the other hand, is alert and on the defensive most of the time, expecting real or unrealistic problems and responding to them with self-destructive results. You don't have to be saved all the time. You're not in danger all the time. But the toxic ego thinks that you're in danger all the time. And no matter what, if somebody looks at you funny, the toxic ego will say, hey, what are you looking at? Right? See? If you see two people talking down the street and they just have to be looking in your direction, you start thinking, oh, what are they talking about? They're talking about me. What are they saying about me? You see? you become paranoid.
Yes.
And that's when you have a toxic ego. So the toxic ego is looking for danger everywhere. Now, those two people down the street have no clue who you are or what you are. Or what you, they don't even see you. They may be looking beyond you.
And even if they're talking about you,
it doesn't matter.
What are they going to do?
Exactly, but the toxic ego doesn't see that. The toxic ego only sees that those two people are talking about me because they're looking in my direction.
Mm-hmm.
They're probably looking at a car right next to you.
Yeah.
See? They're looking at a car right next to you and talking about the car, and you just happen to be walking by. But the toxic ego will automatically find the problem, the danger.
Yes.
See? So the basis of fear is something that has not happened and therefore is based on fantasy rather than on fact. And it happens all the time. You know, sometimes you're talking with somebody and you say something and just then everybody starts laughing, or you hear people laughing to your left or to your right somewhere in the room. Mm-hmm. And because, and you think, what did I say? Right? You think that they're laughing because you said something.
Yes.
See? And you may realize right away that that had nothing to do with you, but our first instinct is, what did I say?
Your love.